So we all took a long trip. We're all here from Asia, from the US, from everywhere. We'll make the meeting tonight shorter so everybody can go to sleep. I think you've all seen that during these days we'll speak about the first 12 chapters of Isaiah. The time is too short to speak concerning the whole book of Isaiah, to read and to see, but I do believe that the first passage of this book up to chapter 12 is very important. When you see the basis, and in these days we want to see the first 12 chapters and read it well and to consider it, to pray over it. And we hope that the Lord will give us more light. What Isaiah wrote, and not only Isaiah, but what all the prophets have said, shows us God's word does not pass away. And we do not need an update. His word is practical for every age. It's applicable in every age. Perhaps some people think that we're not in the age of Isaiah, but the Lord, as well as all the apostles, quoted so much from this book of Isaiah. Perhaps there's no other book in that is quoted as much as the book of Isaiah in the New Testament. Paul said that every scripture, all scripture, is God-breathed. God speaks to us, and it's useful to us. We need it. We need these holy scriptures. Praise the Lord. And I hope that the Lord would open this word to us to show us, for us to see that this word is very applicable to our age today. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, everything that happened to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, they experienced so many problems and difficulties in the wilderness, and they were stiff-necked. They were disobedient. And they always caused a lot of problems, and they carried among themselves many idols. You remember they also worshiped the golden calf. You all know about the story. And they died in the wilderness. This is what Paul said. Did Paul say all these things have nothing to do with us? What does the scripture say? These things are written to warn us so that we will not be like them. That means today. It is very, very possible that we would be like them and not reach the goal. Don't think that we're any better than they are. Well, they were. What did the Lord said in John chapter 3? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Do you think the flesh in the New Testament is better? I don't think so. It is the exact same flesh. even with us believers, if we live in the flesh, we're in no way are we better than they. We all need to see this and believe this. And that is why the scripture is just as applicable to us today as in those days. And it speaks to us today. It is very actual. Very, very up to date and actual for us. May the Lord open our eyes and open our ears, open our hearts. Amen. Read the word. And as we were in doing the preparation and we went through the verse for verse to do this printout to improve, because there's so many different versions, because there are many translations. So it's better for us to have the same translation. This is just for the German. We saw how applicable, how actual the word of the Lord is for today, for our present day situation. We have the same problems as they had in those days. That is why we need this word today. We don't want to go into the background of Isaiah, because we can read that for ourselves. If we read through the books of the prophets, it would be good also for you to read through the history in the scripture. Because all the prophets were used by the Lord because of the fall of the people of God. That's why the prophets were not well liked. Because everything that they spoke, the people at that time did not want to hear it. Truth hurts. Truth exposes. That's why they were not well liked. They were persecuted. They were even killed. But if you don't speak the truth, and you just speak what the people like to hear, then you'll be very popular. Look, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he was not popular. They also killed him. And today, we want to know and want to hear the truth. This is very important. Love for the truth is very important. Sometimes it hurts. When you speak the truth, people would get offended, right? But if we no longer have an ear for the truth, then God would also let us go and leave us to believe all the lies. If you don't have an ear for the truth, so what else would we want to believe in? Lies. And that's why we need to speak the truth and to love the truth. We should have an ear for the truth. But at that time, the people didn't want to hear the truth anymore. So this evening, let's read chapter 1 together. It's good to read. the Word of God. Perhaps we don't need a conference. We can read the chapter for ourselves, and that's good enough. The more we speak about it, the more it gets unclear sometimes. It's better to read the Word and read it slowly. Sisters, verse 1, brothers 2, let's read up to verse 9. Alternate. Can you imagine that? God spoke to Judah in those days. Judah dwelt in this area that was their inheritance from Jerusalem, the city of the Lord, the city of the great king. God, it's God's seat there. There's a temple. Are we not in the building of the Lord today? Even the new Jerusalem. Jerusalem is very precious to us. And Judah, praise the Lord. It's where the people dwelt. It was a place that was very precious to God. Praise the Lord. And what did the Lord say? Did the Lord praise them or what? Can the Lord praise us today? You can praise him. Look how wonderful the church is. How glorious is Jerusalem. Can he say that today? What do you think? Can we say to the Roman Catholic Church, oh, how wonderful it is. Oh, the cathedrals, the churches today through all the division and so much confusion. Do you think that God can rejoice in that? What about Osi? What do you think? When the Lord looks at the churches, do you think he's happy? We have to ask such a question of ourselves. Otherwise we say, oh, we're doing well, everything is great. But the Lord sees things differently. The Lord sees it differently. And the people in those days, they had absolutely no sensitivity for the things of God. Then the Lord complained to him. What kind of a word would you use, Toby? Do you think he likes to rebuke? It was heavy on his heart. To whom should he speak? Did he say, here? Says here, O heaven. He couldn't even say it to the here, O earth. He said here, O heavens, in verse 2. And give ear, O earth. I have nourished and brought up children. And did the Lord not save us and give us his life? Did we not become his children? Have we not been Christians for many years? He raised us and brought us up. He brought up his children. And they were totally absolute for me, and they're very obedient. Michael, what do you think? What is our experience in the last 30 or 20 years? To think the Lord can say something good about us? Right. That was our experience. And they have rebelled against me. Tell me, do you think that only the unbelievers are rebellious? Only the unbelievers would be rebellious? Do you think that we do not rebel? Have we never rebelled against God? He says, do this, and we say no, just like children. The parents say, don't do that. The children say, why not? Right? We are rebellious, right? No? Are we not rebellious? We all have to acknowledge the Lord, have mercy on me. We all have to say, Lord, we're always so rebellious, we're so stiff-necked. That's how it is. They have rebelled against me. Then the Lord praised the ox and the donkey better than his people. Can you imagine that? We cannot even be compared to the oxen. They're better than we are. The oxen don't rebel. Perhaps once in a while the donkeys do. The ox knows its owner. Let me ask you, do you know the wonderful and living God? Perhaps I just have to ask one question this evening. Are you holy? Are we holy? Are you holy? When I ask, are you holy? He said, well, yes, why not? What does the Bible say? What, for instance, what did Peter say? Be holy, as I am holy. Our God is a holy God. Perhaps you know him from the Bible, but that he, we do not know him as the holy God. If you know him as the Holy One, then you will be holy. Are you righteous? Are you righteous? We're very unrighteous. No one dares to say. But our God is righteous. Isaiah says, our righteousness is like what? Like filthy rags. Not just a little bit dirty, but filthy. a heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness. I've seen many Christians that they've become very unrighteous. And they do all kinds of impossible things. And yet they claim that they know God. Do they really know Him? What kind of a God do we know? God is the God of glory. Is the church where we're at glorious? What kind of a church does He want? What kind of a church does the Lord want? A glorious church, right? What kind of a church are we building? How is it in Pforzheim? When God looks upon us with His eyes, then we'll all be quiet and we have nothing to say. How often do you ask this living God whether you are glorious? And how much of His glory have you gained? How often do we think, am I righteous in His eyes? You know, Paul said in the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3, that I do not want to be found in my own righteousness, but in He wanted to be found in His righteousness. He did not want to have His own righteousness, but the righteousness that is much higher, the righteousness. That's what He wanted to know and experience through His faith in Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God. How often do we think that we are in the right, and in the end we find out that we're not? And yet we do not repent. To know God is not to just through the books, through teachings or something like that, but we need to experience Him. We have to know this wonderful God in reality. Ask the ox if he knows it's his master, its master. How does the ox knows its master? Oh, well, who's a farmer here? That's ox. Who has oxes at home? The oxen knows its owner or its master not through books. The ox can't even read, but in a living way. Just like a dog knows his master. But we do not know him. And we have no desire to come into his presence. The whole day we're busy with so many things. We don't even think about him. Right? How often do we spend time with the Lord? And the donkey, its master's crib. Then we, if we look at the ox and the donkey, then we have to be ashamed of ourselves. You know, when the living God makes such a comparison, I feel embarrassed. I feel shameful, don't you? It's truly so. But Israel does not know. Knowledge here does not mean Bible knowledge. In those days, the Pharisees and the scribes, who knew the scriptures better than they did, right? Don't think that when we read the Bible and know some Bible verses by heart, then we already have the knowledge. Such knowledge, says Paul, puffs up. But it's empty within. It's just words and nothing else. And my people do not consider, they read and know something, yet they do not grasp what is in the heart of God. And we walk away and do exactly the opposite of what God wants. Oh Lord. Alone these verses exposes us. Sometimes you read the word in the morning, perhaps a chapter here. I don't know how you read. Okay, let's say not a chapter, but maybe just one sentence. And the evening when you come home, your wife would say, "What did you read this morning?" And you don't know it anymore. Oftentimes we do not understand and we don't grasp what we have read. To have knowledge is one thing, but to have insight, it's another matter. To be able to grasp what God really wants to say. We read the Bible, we close the Bible and we say amen and we walk away. And it's finished, done. Lights out. And everything is over. Alas, sinful nation. A sinful nation. How many of us Christians, believers, cannot overcome sin? And yet we're against the sin offering. And we say, oh, we don't need that. That's the Old Testament way. We don't need it. A people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. You know, when I read these verses, I don't want to just point my finger at someone else. I have to examine my heart. They have forsaken the Lord. Right? Do you think you will not forsake the Lord? Your understanding of this verse is that, oh, I no longer believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the brother forsook God because he does not believe in the Lord anymore. Is that your understanding of this? It doesn't mean that you no longer believe that God exists. But you left his ways. You left his presence. you're far away from him, and you don't even notice it. Did the Lord not say that when he came to this earth that they praise me with their mouth, with their lips, yet their hearts are far away? You mean just a little bit further? They're far away from me. They're far from me. This is the forsaking. Paul wrote to Timothy, they have the form of godliness. That means outwardly. Everything looks like it's in order. But lack the power thereof. They deny the power thereof. If you ask them, they say, oh, there's no problem. They don't even know that they don't even know that they have denied the power thereof in the daily life, in their behavior. And yet when you confront them, they say, why? What's wrong? I don't have a problem. I'm okay. Are you okay? In those days when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, if you were to say they did not believe in God, they would fight with you or maybe slap you in the face. And if these people did not believe in God, who would believe in God? Who believed in God? Yet, the Lord laughed. They said that they were for God. But when God himself appeared to them, John said he came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. This is the situation. That's why Paul said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, and do not dampen your spirit. How often do we ignore him? If we ignore him many times, after a while, we would be desensitized. We will be insensitive. If we live such a life and we keep dampening the spirit and even do something that would grieve him, with time, you are not sensitive to him anymore. Yeah, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. And they have turned away, backward. They did not turn towards him, but they turned away. Just went the other way around, and they went backwards. Not forwards. Not upwards. But they went backwards. Backwards and downwards. That's how it is. Oh Lord. You should read it for yourself. Then God said, why should you be stricken again? if God would strike again, doesn't work anymore. Such a terrible situation is what Isaiah wrote from in the very beginning. He wasted no time. He did not beat around the bush. And he came right to the point. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. Then later he says, the head, that's the elders. Some people think that I am complaining about them. This is what the Bible says. The head. All the problems in the churches begin with the head. If the head is sick, then the whole flock would become sick. That's how it is. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. That's how it is. Then in the end, the whole body is weakened and cannot go on. As soon as the Lord said, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Isaiah is a very good at describing things. Or is it God who's describing the situation? Sometimes the prophet also has to follow what God is saying and to write it down properly. Isaiah is truly a prophet. That has such an ability. His writings were written in Hebrew. And very poetic and so clear and wonderful. Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Can you imagine that the whole body is full of so many wounds? Can it still function? You see, the Lord speaks here like a doctor. In the outline, the last point, F, the Lord, your physician. Just as is mentioned in Exodus 15:26, the name of Yahweh. Praise the Lord. We have a doctor here. When you come to the doctor, he says, oh, forgive me. Then the doctor says to you, okay, I forgive you. Go home. Do you do that? It's not a matter of forgiveness, right? If a patient were to come to you He said, let me just take your blood and check your blood. You know, the Lord came as a great physician. There are many verses. Otherwise we have to cite so many verses. Do you know the Lord as a doctor, as a physician? We Christians think that we just need forgiveness. No? Of course we need forgiveness. Lord, I did something wrong again. Once again I sin. Oh Lord, I take your precious blood. Cleanse me. Based on 1 John chapter 1 verses 7 to 9. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our right. And we said, praise the Lord. And we walk away and the next day we sin again. Do the same thing over again. We must say to the Lord, Lord, heal me. When the believers speak about healing, they just talk about the healing of our physical ailments. Oh Lord, heal me of this. What kind of sickness do you have? Oh, I've got allergies of the skin. Oh Lord, heal me. We ask for healing. Lord, I have this sickness, that sickness. Lord, heal me. But we have not realized that in our soul, in all fallen men, where Satan injected this poison into our flesh. And then it's not just a matter of forgiveness. Forgiveness is just a symptomatic treatment. If a patient comes to you, or if this is just an outward treatment. It's just so that people would feel good. Not be offended. You can sleep well. You can say hallelujah. But we have no need because we do not see that we are sick. Rebellion is a sickness. Disobedience, rebellion, these are sicknesses. Pride, it's a sickness. It's through this poison of a serpent that was injected into us. All the lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, that pride of life. Our thoughts, we have so many impossible thoughts. To be, and also, covetous, greediness. If I'm covetous, oh, I want this, I want that. Lord, give it to me. Okay, Lord, I take the blood, walk away. Do you think that's good enough? You should not forget this name, Yahweh or Jehovah. We need the treatment, this dealing. But if we don't know that we're sick, then we also do not have the desire, the need to go to the doctor, right? You'll hear the doctors here, right? Do healthy people come visit you daily? No? Are you sure? Daily, you have 10 healthy patients? Then they can't be called patients. No, that's why the Lord says, the self-righteous ones, they do not need the doctor. But the sinners, we have to see this. And here, the Lord spoke like a doctor to a patient. The whole nation is sick. They have wounds. They're sick. Desirous of positions, lies, and the twisting of the truth. I don't know what kind of sicknesses there are today. But the Lord mentioned all these in chapter 1, and there's even more. We need healing, really so. Oh Lord. And we do not come to this doctor for healing, not just for forgiveness. Then in the end, there's desolation. The result is your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence. You lose everything. Whatever blessings that the Lord has given us, the truth, life, everything, in the end you lose them all. Believe me. Don't think, we have the knowledge, we have the books and everything is so, looks so nice on the bookshelf and also at the book table. So many nice, beautiful colors, good titles. But there's no longer any reality. The desolation comes. The cities are burned with fire. And strangers devour your land even in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. That means everything that the Lord wanted to do is gone. Perhaps there's still many outward things. It's okay. Looks okay. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers. There's nothing left. There's no wine, there's no grapes. There's just a little booth, a broken down, run down booth. As a hut in a garden of cucumbers. Very expressive here. And even worse, the last phrase says, as a besieged city. And then it goes on to say, verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like what? Like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Fully destroyed. Fully destroyed. Even in verse 10, it says, Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. My goodness. May the Lord open our eyes. This is the introduction to the book of Isaiah, and it's all spoken, only spoken in a general way. You can read it for yourselves. Lord Jesus. This first part of the outline, sick from head to foot. It'll be compared to Sodom and Gomorrah. And become harlots and even murderers. You can see it further, but I don't want to remain in these negative aspects. In Revelation 17, the Lord compared Babylon to a harlot. Come out of her, he said. It's such a mixture. If we replace the Lord with many other things, then we are being spiritual harlots, whores. In the days, in those days, Israel went after the foreign gods. Now, in the New Testament, it's not just some figurine. You know, they make this guy with the bald head with a big tummy. Or ugly looking figures. Just like a Hindu. In Colossians. Paul said covetousness, greed, is also idolatry. Who is not covetous? We need healing. We need healing. We replace our living God with many things. Things that we desire so much. Not just money, but power, position. If I can't have a position in the world, I want a position in the church. Oh Lord. May the Lord open our eyes. So that we do not replace the wonderful God who's in our heart with other things. Many things have distracted us before, like the song we sang. And have replaced the position of our wonderful God in our heart. It's no longer our first love. It's not in the first place. The Lord, our Father God, no longer has a first place. If that's the case, then we're already fallen. And we would even fall deeper if we do not get healed. The first love is the best love. We say we're still the church. But the Lord said to the church in Ephesus, if you do not repent, I will remove your lampstand from its place. That's how it is. Don't think that the Lord won't do that. The Lord does it. And if we don't watch out, we think, oh, now we're the church and we're forever the church. No way. Of course, it doesn't matter what you think. But praise the Lord. You cannot convince God. Okay. Persuade him. No way. And become murderous. You'd say, oh, I never killed anybody. Perhaps not physically, but spiritually, yes. Today in the new covenant, one does not kill with a knife, but with hatred in the heart. You can very well kill your brother. Be careful. Do not hate. He who hates his brother, the Lord said, has already killed him in his heart. So praise the Lord. We should realize all this. How often do we see that life can be killed? And in the end, the church becomes dead. Life is no longer there. Does not mean that the teaching concerning life is no longer there. You can still speak about life. They talk about life and yet they do not have the life. They can speak much about life. They don't have that life. And the more you just talk about it, the deader is the situation. People speak about the spirit, but you don't sense the spirit. What they speak about the oneness and yet they cut the saints off. People speak about love and yet they hate the saints. That happens very quickly. Very well happened with us. Of course, it's not without reason, but it's without valid reason. Oh Lord. And then the princes. Of course, the princes become Widerspenstig. So of course, if Timo Witma is rebellious, then if your dad becomes that way, it will spread through the entire church. And here, which verse is that? Widerspenstig. See? In verse 10. Point D, the princes became rebellious and companions of thieves. Don't you think that it happens today? It happens much too often. It happens amongst us believers. I don't just want to talk about Christians, but I want to include us here as well. Us believers included. And they follow the customs of the nations. talk about that tonight, tomorrow. Otherwise, we won't be able to sleep tonight and we'll be dreaming about this. But fortunately, we have a wonderful doctor today who can come to the Lord and say, Lord, heal me. I really speak from my heart. How often do I have to tell the Lord, Lord, heal me? I come to you as to the doctor. I need a heavenly MRI. Whatever is hidden in my heart, in all my cells, I have to bring it all this to light. It would be terrible if we don't know about our sickness. Some sicknesses can be felt, right? The most deadly sicknesses are not felt. And when you wait until you really feel it, it's already too late. Remember, the Lord is not only our Savior. He's also our physician. Amen. We'll have more fellowship concerning this tomorrow. I think this point is too important in our experience today, so that we would be healthy spiritually. We talk about the body of Christ. And truly, a brother said, the body of Christ is sick. It is sick. And if the body of Christ is sick, what do? They say that they have to cut off the saints, cut off the arm, cut off the foot, and cut off these members, and then the body will become healthy. I don't want to go to such a doctor. Every time when you go visit him, then you lose a member. First a thumb, and then a ear, and then the nose, and then your foot goes away in the end. Do you do such a thing? Talk to Susanna. Don't do that. We shouldn't do that. Our Lord is a true doctor. He heals us. He not only deals with the outward symptoms, but he does the root treatment of our sickness tomorrow. We still have some announcements tonight. Till tomorrow. Amen. Go to the doctor this evening.